Thanks to our friends over at Graze.com, who are sponsors of this week's edition of The Wiggle Room. Graze is a snack subscription service that delivers delicious, unique snacks to your work or home. A Graze box contains 8 healthy and tasty snacks in a recyclable box. Snacking on the go can be hard, especially if you are busy. Not everybody can get down to the Bula Burger Bar, but Graze.com is perfect because they are delivering tasty and nutritious snacks right to your work or home. They've got a great offer for the listeners of our podcast. Go to Graze.com now and get a free trial box that includes 4 of their top rated and most delicious snacks. Graze snacks are perfectly portioned and great on the go for treating yourself without overdoing it. From savory combos to flapjacks and cookie dippers, their vast variety of over 100 unique snacks means that there's always something new and different to try. You could call them the hunger nullifier if you so choose. Check out some of their snacks like turtle pie, which includes raw pecans, vanilla pumpkin seeds, salted caramel milk chocolate, and mini cocoa cookies. And how about cookies and cream, mini cocoa cookies, white chocolate buttons, chocolate fudge, and sunflower seeds. When you sign up, browse and rate all of the snacks to help Graze handpick a personalized box to suit your preferences. But if you are married like myself, you will find that your spouse will occasionally eat all of the Graze picks that you made. So watch out for that. Each snack is approved by their in-house nutritionist and contains no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives, so you can feel good about what you're snacking on. So go to Graze.com, Graze.com now to get your free trial box that includes 4 of the top rated and most delicious snacks. Use the special code ROB, that's at Graze.com, promo code ROB for your free box of tasty and healthy snacks.
Check it out. Josh. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Lur. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Lur. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Lur. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Lur. Do the wiggle,
man. I do the wiggle, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Herding cats. Herding cats. It's real.
It's it happening.
Happened. It happened. The cats are canon. Ah! Unbelievable. It's just ridiculous. It's so good.
Trying to keep these Goliaths together is like herding cats.
Herding cats.
Meow.
That's the only way it could have been improved. Mike White said cats on Survivor. Ah! That is better than any Wiggle Room shout out I have ever received on Survivor. This is the peak. It is all downhill from here.
Yeah.
What was also great about it was I was stark raving mad on Twitter after Mike White said cats on Survivor. It was all I could tweet about for the next several minutes. And I got a text message from your fellow know-it-all, the great Stephen Fishback. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you losing your mind over Mike White tweeting, talking about cats? Am I missing something? I feel like I'm missing out on something. I'm like, oh, well, you are missing out on something, Steven. And I'm not surprised at all.
Nothing confuses Steven more than an RHAP reference. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Where did people hear that?
Oh, they heard it on the podcast network that you're an instrumental part of that you don't listen to ever.
Look, he's a busy guy, Josh. Don't begrudge him just because he doesn't have time to ever listen to any other episode of the podcast.
No, and he's going to listen to this. Is going to be the first thing he ever listens to because it's right at the start of the podcast. Very easy. There's going to be the people who at Stephen Fishback like, oh, they were talking shit about you on the Wiggle Room.
We'd be excited if he was listening.
Yeah, Stephen. You should be in here more often. It's a great time that we have here. You should submit a wand off. Stick around through the wand off and see what we've been doing.
Oh, he would hate the wand off.
Well, let's find out. Steven, please live tweet your very first Wiggle Room experience. I think we would all greatly enjoy it.
Okay. All right. Josh, also, did you see that the reigning Survivor champion, Wendell Holland, tweeted the other day? What a freaking episode. Best season ever. Don't at me.
It's everyone's infected. I don't know what's happening, but
did you start a meme?
I know that you had asked this on a podcast very recently because I actually listen to the podcasts on RHAP.
Oh, look at you.
Not all of them. Sometimes I miss one or two, or, you know, there's the
there's
one
very
or two
few that people that listen to all of them.
Yeah, but they exist. They exist.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I certainly didn't start the phrase "don't at me."
You didn't start that. But
it.
Best season ever. Don't at me. I mean, people can go through the annals of Twitter. You were the first person to say that
about Survivor, David versus Goliath. I do believe that is correct.
Because I think said it in the second episode.
It was like I think it was the fourth. I'm remembering right. It sounds a little less ridiculous 9 episodes into this into this crazy season.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
All right, so you started something.
I think that the take is seeming to have caught fire within the Survivor community, and we are just a few episodes away from finishing this season and then finding out if that ridiculousness actually has some Courtney merit.
Okay. Josh, good Thanksgiving?
Great Thanksgiving. A fantastic Thanksgiving.
All right.
How about yours? You're feeling
fine.
Good?
Fine.
How was the pie?
Fine. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to get into that.
You know how you can tell that the pumpkin pie segment was really not great last week? Is that neither of us once the entire time thought to say no pumpkin pie, no. Literally never. It never even came up. A disaster.
Okay. Let's segue because we have a lot to be thankful for this Survivor season. And Josh, you have been conducting these in-season interviews with the contestants.
Yes.
You also had a great interview with Jeff Probst last week. But you had an interview over these last couple of days with the man who played the vote steal. And that was Mr. Nick Wilson. And
yes.
I thought that this was one of the best. The best of this season in terms of these interviews, because it was the right guy at the right time.
It's been so much fun, just like even just purely as a Survivor fan. And that was what my thinking was through this whole, you know, through pitching this idea of like doing what I've been calling the active player interviews. It's like, why only let people talk about the show once they have been voted out? They have like relived and re-traumatized themselves through like that horrible memory. And then they're going to talk to a million people in a day and they're going to be so devastated and they have every reason in the world to be a little bit bitter. The story is just not going to be as clear. Why not talk to somebody after they have had like a good moment? You know, maybe that is a different approach. So I really enjoyed, you know, when I get the, we do these over email, and when I get the answers back from the contestants, it is always such a delight to read those responses right away. So I really enjoyed this one from Nick. If you haven't seen it yet, thr.com/survivor. It's the first story up there as of this podcast, as of this recording. And yeah, I agree. I thought that Nick was really fantastic. You know, he's been in the thick of a lot of action this season so far, certainly in this most recent tribal council with a front row seat. I guess he's technically back row view of what happened with the idol nullifier. And why did he play the vote steal on Allison, of all people? I thought he had a very clever answer to that. Yeah, it's just really great to pick Nick's brain. I think that he's been so much fun on the show and has been, I know certainly in you talking with Sandra and talking with Sophie, both of them super high on Nick's odds this season. I co-sign that. I feel like Nick is really making a strong case for himself here. And so to pick the brain of a guy who is doing such a good job out there was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. And just one other thing in terms of, you know, having these interviews, because I was a little, I don't want to say skeptical, but in terms
sure.
of like, you know, I really go out of my way. I don't want the spoilers. I don't want
of
anything
course.
That's going to let me know. But, you know, when we're, you know, hearing from people all throughout the season, it's, you know, not like, you know, that you're getting a, you know, like, oh, OK, well, I feel like that this person, like, you can't read too much into it in terms of, you know, who you're getting when. And then say hypothetically Nick goes on to, you know, say fifth place and is like the, you know, the second person out in the finale, you know, by the time we get to a month down the road, most of like the details about what just happened are going to be, you know, at best very sort of fuzzy. And so in terms of like, yeah, maybe if we did like a 5-hour interview with him and talk about it, like maybe we would get into this, but who would remember at that point in time? So it's really just nice to have this information at our fingertips here in the week that it happens.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to the argument of like these active player interviews risk spoiling the future of the show, I honestly don't think that the risk is any greater than the risk you run with an exit interview. Mm-hmm. It's the same risk. You know, people who are coming through on the exit interview circuit, they could just as easily like accidentally reveal who wins their season, you know? Like they could just slip up and say something. So I think when you're getting into the metagame of Survivor, like when you're talking about the press and the podcasts and all of that, I think that you're running these risks anyway. And I personally feel like when you're talking to somebody who is incentivized to be like really excited about what just happened on the show and really lock in on that and lock in on stuff that we had seen earlier in the season as well, once, you know, while those memories are a little bit fresher than they'll be when their time is up on the show, I actually think, frankly, that's safer. And, you know, in terms of the process, there's mediation here. You know, there is an arbiter. There is a go-between in terms of me and the person that I'm interviewing. So there are eyes on this thing that are making sure that these are coming through very cleanly. And I personally have detected no issue so far. So I'm happy about it. I did think this one with Nick was really fun.
And I much prefer this than, say, a player going on Instagram and like writing like a long post about, you know, what really happened was blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. All right. So you had a lot of great stuff in this interview with Nick. I thought that the reasons why he used the vote steal on Allison were especially interesting. Steven and I were trying to make sense of it the other night on the Know It Alls. Why Allison? And that he had, you know, not one, but two, but what, four answers on why Allison?
He had three reasons for why he stole Allison's vote. I'll just read the full answer. How about that?
Right.
Nick says, I stole Allison's vote for a few reasons. First, I wanted to misdirect who we were voting for in hopes of tricking Dan into playing his idol on Allison. If Dan played his idol on Allison, then Jeff would not have revealed that an idol nullifier had been played or even existed. And the vote steal would get all the credit for the big move. So that's the first reason. If you want to stop down there, it's very clever. It's a very clever, valid reason for why he stole Allison's vote over Dan's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that was something that you had talked about in First One Out with Jeff, of that if you play the idol on somebody and then they do not play the hidden immunity idol, it would not come out. And so, very interesting in terms of, you know, the way that the players are trying to, you know, craft their narrative in terms of, you know, what accomplishments they made. And so instead of having to share this, and, you know, who knows how the actual players viewed it in terms of what Nick did versus, you know, what Carl did with the idol nullifier. Interesting that he was thinking along those lines.
Yeah, and impressive because, you know, at this point, he's heard about the idol nullifier. I think Carl shares that with Nick when they find the vote steal, right? So he's probably had a couple of days to process its existence. But to already be thinking of, like, how does my advantage work in conjunction with Carl's advantage? Like, what can I do to make sure that, like, I'm the person who's getting the credit here on this move? I think is very, very clever stuff. Nick goes on and says, second, Allison and I did have somewhat of a working relationship despite her decision to remain Goliath strong. I knew if I gave her a good explanation on why I stole her vote, she would understand and be able to trust me again. Other players who are less analytical than Allison might take it personally and never consider working with me again. So that's the second reason why Nick steals a vote from Allison. Anything that jumps out to you on that? Well, I really want to get to the third one because the third reason is the best.
Well, interestingly, that when I was doing the know-it-alls with Steven, I had said sort of like, is it possible that maybe sort of like the galaxy brain reason why he would want to use the vote on Allison is to really throw people off the scent and make it look like he's not working with Allison? And I think that Steven said that was fan fiction at best, but I was like, oh, wait, he was thinking along those lines.
Yeah, I think you get to bing the bell.
I mean, yeah, I didn't really think that was a reason, but when I read it, yeah, I was like, oh, look at this.
Is the Carl Bing going to replace the actual bell?
Yes. Well, hopefully Carl will just replace the bell. We'll get him and he'll be sort of yes. like my sidekick on the podcast.
Oh, my God. I would love that. Carl's got an incredible voice and eventually he is going to be spectacular on the podcast. I really hope so.
Yeah. If Carl wants to give up trucking and become like the permanent announcer of Rob as a podcast, then that would be absolutely, you know, A-OK with me.
Or he could, I don't know. Yeah, he could take, he could host his own show from the road, I think would be a really terrific thing. All right, this is Nick's third and final reason for why he stole Allison's vote. He says, third and shamefully perhaps most enticing, although not most strategic, is that Allison is totally the most fun person to troll. She was devastated that I stole her vote and was totally freaking out. The whole time the rest of us were voting, she was checking her pulse and fighting back tears. I felt guilty the next morning and so bad for her watching it back now, but at the time I wanted the David's haymaker to land and cause as much damage as possible to totally obliterate Goliath Strong, if not humiliate them for lying to the Davids and overlooking us as important players in the game. Nick Wilson, you're a mean man. You're kind of a jerk, to be honest, but that's also incredibly entertaining and very funny.
Okay. Nick, I do think that this was a bit of his coming out party in terms of the season. Would you agree with that?
I mean, I think that Nick has been super present all the way through, but I think that this is obviously, you know, between this and the John Hennigan moment, which I cannot believe that, like, there was, like, immediately after the John Hennigan vote, there was another vote that was just, like, iconic, like historic in Survivor with the nullifier being played and the vote still on top of that. This is definitely Nick's biggest 2 weeks of the show for sure.
Do you feel like that Nick is the front runner right now in terms of the odds on favorite to win?
Yeah, he would be mine. You know, I'm not reversing course on my official winner pick. I would not troll Dr. Allison.
People should troll you if you did.
Yes.
That.
Yes. I'm staying the course with Dr. Allison, but that's, you know, that's who I've signed on for and who I greatly enjoy, but that was a preseason pick. If you were to, you know, stop down in the middle of the season right now looking at everybody on the field, I do think that Nick is pretty far out in front for me right now.
Now, it is the final 10. Do you think that he is in danger of peaking too soon here? Because that if we go back to Millennials versus Gen X, a wonderful season.
Oh, I was just watching some of that before you and I hopped on the podcast. I just watched Michaela get blindsided a few minutes ago.
You know, are we looking at Nick sort of like being in the spot of, say, like a Zeke, where we're saying, like, boy, Zeke is really looking great here. That, you know, oh, he's got this blind side of Chris Hammonds now, and look at him coming on here and then ends up being a person who is taken out before we get to the end game.
It's totally possible. This has been a really tough season to predict, which is the best kind of season. You know, week to week, things have been shaken up so dramatically. And every episode, it feels like, is a haymaker, to use the word that Nick just used in this article, where, like, you're just, like, completely dazzled and dazed by what has occurred. That it's entirely possible that Nick could go home as soon as this week. Who knows? Especially, we're getting into 2 hours of Survivor. So much could happen. It's going to be a very hard episode to predict. But I feel really good about his shot. I think that he seems to be in a really strong position strategically. I think with the Davids having some momentum right now, he's in a really good position within David. He also is somebody who I think of the Davids, short of, and not even anymore Christian, I was going to say, because both Brochachos are now gone. I think for Nick is the guy who probably has the most relationships on the Goliath side of the aisle too. So I think that his relationship building really serves him well here in the final 10. And I think that there's so many people on the field right now that are worth being really afraid of that I don't know that Nick is in like the top tier of that just yet. So I feel like he should be fine for a little while, but that's probably why we're going to be speaking to him on Thursday. As a result.
I'm starting to get a little concerned because it feels like that not only off the show are people talking about Nick, but I played that secret scene with Sophie the other day where, you know, Chris, she's talking about this guy is a genius, and talking to Gabby, and it's like, oh, he's so, it's, and she's like, oh, it's the Southern accent. Everybody's so trustworthy. And nobody sees it coming with this guy. And I just wonder if Christian has all this heat on him. Is there a Mason-Dixon betrayal potentially in the works where then maybe I forget which one is which
that I believe
Christian is Dixon.
I think that's right. I'm pretty sure.
You know, could Dixon potentially throw Mason under the bus?
Wow. I mean, it would be excellent television. You know, I love both of those guys, and I'd be sad to see it happen, but it'd be really amazing. I mean, I do think that there needs to be a moment where Christian is, you know, I would love to see this like Heisenberg turn from Christian. I think would be a really tremendous thing for him to like fully betray the person that he has worked with so closely, if he had like a really valid strategic reason to do it. And eventually, you know, he would at some point have a very valid strategic reason to do it once the numbers are thin enough. But to do it soon is a little hard to see, but it would be, I'm sure, phenomenal television to see.
Because if I was going to, you know, break down the Davids, sure, you have Mason Dixon connecting the two sides, but then I feel like that Christian has Gabby, and I feel like that Nick has the Davy and Carl side of the Goliaths. But if you get to the point where then you have a couple of these Goliaths that are out there, Allisons and Mikes and Caras and Alec, could, you know, where do they come down if there is ultimately, you know, and that's how these things work on Survivor, where it's like, okay, one side has all the numbers and then they work together until that group has a fissure and then a crack, and then they end up splitting into two sides again, and then where are the votes going on those two sides of that crack? So I do feel like that there is a fault line somewhere along the way with these Davids, and we'll see
a Mason Dixon fault line.
I guess so. And so it'll be interesting to see when those tectonic plates shift, if the Davids can stay together and sort of ride this out and say, hey, you know, let's just get to the five and then we'll get to the four and have the fire making, or if the people will ultimately get greedy and say, well, I don't think I can beat those people, so let's take our side and then pick up a few of these Goliaths that are at the bottom.
Right. And I feel like there's a very realistic possibility of something like that happening. I mean, we're at even numbers for the first time in a long time. We've got five Davids versus five Goliaths. We've got a 2-hour episode. So we've got two eliminations that are going to happen this week. And certainly for that second elimination, it's really basically impossible to accurately predict what's going to happen there. But I think even with this first one, like, are we going to find ourselves in like a rock draw type of situation? Like, are the Davids going to be that unified versus the Goliaths being super unified? Or is there a crack within Goliath at this point? But I mean, I know that it's something that you talked about on the podcast this week as well, is like, are we potentially like, could you see like a David Paganging of the Goliaths happening next? That just doesn't feel like the spirit of this season. Like, that just does not feel like where we are with Survivor.
It would be disappointing.
It'd be very disappointing. And I'm sure that there would be moments where that would be very entertaining and memorable along the way. But I think that kind of like expected finish of, you know, we've seen that before, of like one alliance is just now going to thoroughly devour this other group. It just doesn't feel like this season. Like, this season just feels, I know that I'm annoying about it, but it feels special. So I certainly don't, you know, want to see any kind of Paganging. I love all the Davids, and I would be really sad to see any of them go. I feel that way about the Goliaths who are here still too, though. So I don't know. I think if I were just to put my mojo in one direction or the other, I don't think that we're going to be in for a Paganging.
That being said, do you feel like that we are headed to a rock draw on Wednesday night?
No, because I don't think that Goliath is going to be strong enough to stay there. I think that, you know, for a while now, we've been seeing for two tribal councils in a row, at the very least, we've seen the members of the David tribe being like, why are you guys like still playing this Goliath strong game when we've all been talking about wanting to play together and shake things up a little bit more? And that was really the drum that they were beating. And now they've gotten rid of two of the physically iconic Goliaths in John and Dan are both gone now. And they were able to lure Goliath votes onto Angelina. You know, they were able to create a situation where Kara and Alec threw votes against one of their own. I can't imagine that's going to sit well with Angelina. I can't imagine that the five of them that are remaining together are going to be nearly as tight as the Davids are. And so I think that that's going to force some kind of situation where we're not going to be in the running for a rock draw. As exciting as it would be, the rock draw, though it has been like slightly more commonplace in recent Survivor than it's been in the past, it's still not exactly commonplace. It's a fairly rare thing. So I think it would take a lot to get us there. And then, of course, on Wednesday night, now we will see a rock draw and it will be really awesome.
It would be awesome. Yes. I think that the first hour of Survivor this week, I think that's the one we get like the 9-1 Angelina vote. I think she's the one person that everybody there can agree on. And ultimately, she's the person that goes home, that she doesn't have the idol. And it's almost like that, in sort of like the bookend to the Elizabeth vote, which is interesting because they had sort of the whole thing before Elizabeth got voted out, where that was like the 12-1 vote against Elizabeth, that she was the consensus boot. I think that Angelina gets that in the first hour. And then
my great hope is that you were right about all of that, except for the fact that this Chekhov's idol for Angelina business that we've been in, that now that Dan's idol is played, maybe Angelina scoops it up. Maybe it is a 9-1 vote on Angelina and she's able to negate those votes and knock somebody huge out of the game.
Exciting.
Would be remarkably exciting. So I hope you're right with that little wrinkle as an adjustment to the prediction.
And then I was going to say, I think that the second hour, I think we see more intrigue, because that's when I think that we end up with some of the Davids, cutting deals with the Goliaths. And that's why they were confident. And the Goliaths felt like, okay, well, let's just cut bait on Angelina this time. And then they feel like that they, you know, have to see which of their side deals with the Davids ultimately end up coming through, if anything. And then maybe we have a more interesting vote in the second hour.
Yeah, like a Goliath David tribal council. That sounds likely. I think that makes sense to me. Yeah, nothing further. I think that's a good prediction.
Okay, Josh, anything you want to say in terms of Dan and his boot from this episode? You and I both had the opportunity to speak with Dan. I found Dan to be in pretty good spirits today.
Yeah, well, it didn't make it in the interview that I posted on THR, but when we got on the phone, I was like, how happy are you to have had like some actual distance from your episode and not just have to wake up really salty the next day and talk to everybody? And he said it was a very good thing that he was able to have some breathing room from the episode itself. But yeah, I mean, he was, I called him out at one point because he was being so diplomatic about the Kara and Alex stuff. It's like, just give me the hot goss, hot cop. Tell me what's going on. And he really wouldn't budge. Obviously he feels fairly burned by Kara, but he's being guarded about it, which is good as a human being and less good in terms of our entertainment value. But I'm being an invasive monster for wanting to know more. It is his right to keep that quiet. But I thought that he was in a good mood, and it was a fun interview. I'm sad to see Dan go, because I thought that he was a great character, in the same way that I'm sad to see all of these people go right now, because I think they're all great characters. But I thought that it was, it's been interesting actually to kind of get the reactions to how people are feeling about the nullifier moment. I thought that it was incredible television. I thought that it was so much fun. I have very few, if any, critiques about how it was conveyed. I don't know what you do to the presentation of the nullifier that improves it versus what they did on the show. Mm-hmm. I don't have any really good ideas for that. I think for it to happen to a Goliath is fun. I think for it to happen to the guy who got two idols this season is also super fun. And it's historic and it's memorable. And the great tweet from Dalton Ross that captures the moment where Dan's face just completely drops was a great moment. So as much as I really love Dan as a guy and as a character, like I thought that he was super fun on the show, it was also just a blast to watch him get blasted out of the game like that.
The case for Dan as a returnee, I think it's an interesting one. It's not a no-brainer and it's not a no way. Where do you come down on it?
I honestly don't know. I think that he was so great for this theme, for this season. I think you'd really have to shake it up if he were to go back out there for it to really be worth our while. But similar in the vein of like, I don't need to see like John back on Survivor as much fun as he was. I think that he was just so perfect for David versus Goliath. I think I'm probably in that same camp for Dan, who I like a lot and would not be mad to see play Survivor again. But I don't think that he would make the cut of 20 people in like whatever fan cast I concocted for the next All-Star season of Survivor.
Yeah, I think that he is in a tough demographic in terms of, yes. I think that there are a lot of people that he's vying with for being sort of, the eye candy spot in terms of talking about the guys on the cast. And I think that he's probably still trailing behind Michael Yerger, who I think would be the favorite to land that spot. So, you know, it could be one of these things where it's like, okay, well, if we put Michael Yerger on this tribe, who, you know, who's the person we have to balance it out on the other tribe. So I don't think that he's drawing dead, but I also wouldn't call him a prohibitive favorite from this cast to return.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the other piece of it, too, is like the reason or one of the reasons why I think that Dan was such fun to watch was like his temper and how personally he would take stuff and how he would like get really fired up about things. There's a lot of earnestness to Dan that is very compelling. But I think that also translates to his play style, where I think that he played it fairly down the line. And if he had had it his way, it would have been Goliath strong all the way. And that's a very effective old school mentality for how to do well on Survivor, not to knock the strategy at all. But I think when you're talking about somebody like Michael Yerger, who plays a bombastic type of game, granted, he's, you know, coming from the, you know, he's coming from behind for most of the season. He doesn't really have the ability to play from the higher ground. I think that's just such a more compelling play style to the people who create Survivor that I don't know how the way Dan played Survivor this season. I don't know if that's like the exact type of way that the people who make Survivor would prefer it. So I think that that might be a knock as well. Wouldn't be mad at it. And I'd be very interested to see if he could change it up. Like if he could do, he referenced Sarah Lucina to me. Mm-hmm. Like if we could be in for something like that, where Dan comes back and everybody thinks like, oh yeah, Dan was very earnest. He was very reliable. And then does Dan, you know, go like from good hot cop to bad hot cop, you know, I think would be
hot criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
Hot mugshot guy.
Yeah. The first time I played like a hot cop, now I'm playing like a hot criminal,
like a hot mugshot guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or they should get hot mugshot guy.
Yes. 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 That's what should happen next. Absolutely. So it'd be fun.
That but, guy, you know, is awesome.
Not banking on it. Not banking on it. I think there's a lot of great returnee potentials on this season, and love Dan. Don't know that he is quite cracking that list for me.
Real quick on this, so in terms of there being a season theme that maybe Dan might be right for, I was noodling around with an idea of screwed by a twist. And maybe you don't have 20 people that are screwed by a twist. Oh, you probably do. But could you have a season that's helped by a twist versus screwed by a twist, where and it might end up being a super twisty season, so that might be bad news. But is there anything there in terms of people who, you know, that they're coming back and they were helped, and is karma going to reverse itself? Is somebody right. who got helped by a twist last time more likely to be hurt, or are these people who got hurt by a twist, is there something about them that they're cursed?
Oh my God, Reddit's already exploding with fury. They hate it. They hate it. They're just like, they're boiling over with rage right now.
If you're going to have a returnee season, is this better or worse than replacement level idea of, like, is this better or worse than Game Changers?
Oh, hard to get worse than Game Changers, I think. So at least it's better than that. You need to work on the branding. Like, what do you call it? Like Survivor Twisted Island or Twisted Temple?
Twist of Fate.
Yes. Oh my God.
Twist of Fate. I'm telling you, this is somebody's ears are perking up. Survivor Twists of Fate. Because I think that there is something interesting there. Because that if you're screwed by the twist, you're sort of coming back with sort of like the built-in story of, yeah, I was the first person that got screwed out of the game by the idol nullifier, but
sure,
this time I'm back. I'm ready for anything.
Yeah, this is it's a compelling pitch. I would be so mad if like the full season was just like twist after twist after twist after twist. But there are certainly worse ideas on the table for sure.
Okay. All right, Josh, there's something else from this episode that I have been waiting all week to talk to you about.
Yes. Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. I want to talk to you about the reward on this week's episode. Let me bring in Jeff to tell the survivors about this week's reward.
Want to know what you're playing for?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely, Jeff.
Prepare yourself.
Okay. Prepare, Jeff.
For the Bula Burger Bar.
And then later.
Everybody going back to camp, Boat will pick you up and take you to the Bula Burger Bar. Grab your stuff, head back to camp. Carl, you can join him.
Now that seems like a future season to me. Survivor Triple B. Bula versus burgers versus bars.
What the hell is the Bula Burger Bar? Is it? I have so many questions. Is Bula Burger Bar? Is it an actual place in Fiji? Is it an actual establishment? Is it like Wendy's in Fiji? Is Bula a guy who works on the Survivor production team that is out there barbecuing? Is Bula a type of burger? What is the Bula Burger Bar, and why are we talking about it?
So Bula is a greeting in Fiji. It's like hello or welcome. It is a word that you will hear with great frequency if you are ever out in Fiji. So that's one mystery solved. I have been to Fiji a few times now. I've been very lucky to be there with boots on the ground a few times. I have yet to encounter a single Bula Burger Bar, and you can bet your bottom dollar.
You're looking for it.
I'm looking. I'm on the prowl next time. Next time I'm out there, if I get the chance to go, I am seeking out the Triple B faux show. That is definitely on the burgers looked really good, to be honest.
So there was a guy there that was flipping the burgers that we saw. I'm like, is that Bula?
He works in his name is Stu. I've actually met that guy.
Stu. Isn't it Stu's Burger Bar?
I don't think that Stu owns the Bula Burger Bar. I think that he is the chef at the Bula Burger Bar. But it sounds like Probst owns the franchise. would be my bet.
Jeff Probst going to be opening up a fast food chain soon called the Bula Burger Bar.
I don't know, but if Mike and Liana are listening to this, I think retroactively this episode of Survivor has to be a burger stew for the soup.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that today the RJP B&B is sponsored by BBB.
Yes.
No. My next question is a Bula burger significantly better than a Steers burger?
Oh, no, I think that the Steers burgers seem to be where it's at.
Okay. So many questions. So many questions.
A lot of questions. I guess they couldn't get the Outback sponsorship this year, so they just had to create their whole new burger universe. I'm not mad at it. Burger universe, by the way, should exist if that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Gotta imagine there's a burger universe out there in the universe.
Yeah. Josh, another moment from the episode. This opened the episode. I just want to take a moment and listen to this. Was Davey coming back from camp? Because I thought this was so funny, because Davey has, you know, he had that really great move last week, and he played the idol for Christian. And he came back and then tried to really just massage the situation back at camp and really just try to get everybody nice and calm.
I want to say something real fast. It's season 37, guys. I mean, I feel like the game has evolved enough to where we can respect each other's gameplay without taking it personal.
Dude, I felt like I was in a wrestling match just now. All the way from Orangeburg, South Carolina, Davey Rickenbacker takes down the mayor of Slamtown. Let's go, baby. I got his jacket. I should put it on right now, man.
How did he get the jacket?
I think he left it at home. I don't think it was like, mayor.
Yeah.
Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
Mayor. Mr. Mayor. Oh, my God. What an incredible moment.
God, I've got the jacket. like a macho man.
It's just so, it's so great. It's what, it's all that Mike Zahalski ever wanted. Like, this is, you know, if he wanted those wrestling promos, and he got one here with Davey. Such an incredible moment so many reasons.
Yeah.
It was just great. It, you know, Davey having that moment happen at all when he should not have even been out on Survivor this season as like the most 11th hour of 11th hour replacements that you could possibly get. He's, you know, at home in Atlanta 48 hours before he's playing Survivor, and then he goes on to blindside the most Goliath-y Goliath, as Dom and Colin would like to say. I think that it was, it's just such a fun thing. And then for him to have the jacket, deliver the news that he has the jacket in such an incredible way, I, you know, tip the hat to the editing team once again, but especially because of how funny the jacket business has been this season anyway. So like, to see the resurgence of the jacket in this capacity was just like, you know, the chef kissing his fingers. Like, it was
Bulla.
Stew the chef. Yes. just incredible, incredible, incredible stuff. It was so great. Such a great moment. What a great way to set the tone for that episode. It's just such a funny, funny starter. I know that the secret scene, the one where Nick is getting a lot more of the credit for that move, seems like that was like an alternate opening to this episode. And maybe like that's like the more informative version of what happened in the vote against John. But this is just like a stellar, entertaining moment that was so perfect.
But it's just really funny. And we've talked a lot about the editing this season, but the juxtaposition of Davey just like, guys, hey, we're all cool. Season 37. We're all friends here. And then just like in the private moment going nuts.
I know. It was so great. It was so great. I was so impressed when he was doing that too. And it seemed like it was going over really well. And everyone's like, yes, absolutely. That's where we are. We're all going to shake hands and no one's going to be upset. And then like it cuts to him just like having that freak out moment. It was so freaking funny, man. It was just absolutely incredible. And then like beyond that, like just so many great storytelling choices in this episode that we could, you know, really pick apart, but you have 1,000 other podcasts with which that you do this. But I will say, I thought that the whole breadth first search sequence, and really specifically the moment where Christian is talking about the island as sectors, and then immediately we see the island sectored out, was just a really, really cool choice. And like, that's the kind of stuff that Survivor's doing this season that is really, it's lighting me up, buddy. I'm enjoying that stuff so much. This episode is filled with moments like that.
Really great. Here's another moment I haven't talked about yet. This was from the reward challenge where there was a combination lock, and both teams had the same combination on their lock, and Mike White ends up getting the combination. And shades of in Millennials versus Gen X, there is a copying of the numbers which is taking place. But the one group that is trying to the eventual winners of the challenge, they are trying to not have their numbers stolen, and they are going to try to confuse Allison and Christian. There you go.
Mike's got it.
Cover.
18 last, 36 first.
Oh. 18, Orange 20, did not 20, cover 20, their 20, combo. 20, Allison 20, may have picked 20, it off.
36 blank
27, 18. 27, 36, 18. Jack has it released.
4, 8, 11, 15, 16, 9. 23, 42. The numbers are bad. Incredible. This season is excellent. This season is excellent. This is so much fun. This is why we watch Survivor. This season is why we watch Survivor. It's so great.
And then, Josh, I have a nominee. I've been talking about how I'd love to eventually have one year where we have the Survivor metaphor of the year. And so I want to submit for you a nominee. Okay. Should we enter this into the nominations of Best Survivor Metaphor of the Year? Here's Christian describing what the game is like at the merge.
The game kind of reminds me of sort of like an old car that you're not sure is going to start. You know, we hit the merge and you're like, okay, is the game really going to kick in the gear where you turn the key and it doesn't start. Like, okay, that almost blew our engine. Let's do it one more time and we'll find out whether or not the crank actually turns over when we turn the key tonight.
Wow.
I think that the Jeff Probst reaction of being impressed, I think, is important to the metaphor of the year.
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. And I'm sure that Jeff himself has several contenders of his own that could wind up in the final nominations list. Yeah, this could make it. I still prefer the roller coaster from earlier this season, but the old car was fun as well.
Well, ideally, when you drop a metaphor on Survivor, you want it to land and you don't want it to... That's ideal. Okay.
Yeah, I love Christian. I thought that one was maybe a little clunky. Maybe that...
I don't know. Jeff drops a wow at the end of it. Wow. Yeah. This guy is good.
This is gold. Yeah. I mean, Christian, obviously, frontrunner. Christian frontrunner to return, I think, of this cast.
Certainly.
I don't think anyone's out on a limb with that take.
Yeah. I mean, if you were going to rank the returnees, Christian, number one with a bullet, who's two?
I don't even know. You know, couldn't even tell you. Number one for sure is Christian.
Okay. All right. Josh, anything else about this episode before we start to head towards the wand off this week?
We'll see if anything comes up in the wand off. Let's get to the music.
Okay, let's get to the wand off. And of course, this week's wand off is sponsored by our friends over at 23andMe. 23andMe DNA kits are on sale between now and December 25th. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up your DNA. Now, Josh, you cannot find out, though, if you have Goliath DNA.
I don't think that you need 23andMe to determine that. I think that that is just something that you kind of sense. you sort of just know if you're a Goliath or not.
Yeah. The 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes 90 plus personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what makes you unique. Now through December 25th, get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andme.com/Rob. They have a number of different reports, including the ancestry composition report. You can see how many of your ancestors came from places that have had Survivor seasons filmed in them.
Whoa. I don't think any of mine did personally, but who knows?
Yeah. I completed a 23andMe kit recently. They sent it to me in the mail. You send them back a saliva sample, and then you get access to this incredible report that has all of these details about you. With the ancestry composition report, you can explore where your DNA is from out of a 150 plus regions worldwide, and then you can find out interesting traits about yourself, like, for instance, the ability to match musical pitch, Josh.
Whoa, I don't have that ability.
Yeah,
that would be very useful for our wand-offing business.
Yeah, and what that tells you, if you hear a musical note, can you sing it back? While matching pitch comes naturally for some, it's almost impossible for others. And this I can tell you from listening to so many wand-offs, genetics play a role in your ability to match a musical pitch. Who knew? Also, how likely are you to get mosquito bites? So all things that you can find out.
I get a lot of mosquito bites and it sucks. And they
blame your parents.
They always go from my ankles and my feet. And I don't like it at all.
Now through December 25th, get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andMe. That's the number 23andme.com/Rob. That's the number 23andme.com/Rob. Again, that's 23andme.com for 30% off any 23andMe kit. Josh, of course, so many different things that we can learn about ourselves and about Wanda through DNA testing.
Well, I was going to say that while I have no relatives that have played in locations where Survivor has shot, my wife does. She has in her family history, her father is actually from where they filmed Survivor Maryland.
Oh, I didn't know. So, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. So how about that?
I tried to start the wand off.
Oh, it didn't work.
It didn't work. Okay. Okay. Let me try it
Let's
again.
Let's try it again. Let's do it now. Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda. And you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life. If you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the wand off. It's the wand off. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life. If you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice, you wanna know right now. Yeah,
yes.
Playing that song in the Survivor car that has trouble getting started, but here we are. It's real. Kind of sounds like the Batman theme song.
No, I think it kind of sounds like... Was that you trying to start an old car that day? Hey.
I did just get a text from Emily who was like, why are you talking about my dad living, being from Maryland? Then she said, Survivor Bethesda was her contribution.
Coming
That'd
soon.
Be a very strange experience to be my Coming wife soon. Listening to The Wiggle Room. Only half of the podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway. Keep going.
I wouldn't know what that's like when your wife, know, when your wife or your know-it-alls co-host listens to The Wiggle Room.
All right.
Josh, interestingly enough, I don't know exactly when this... did you recently imply that there were 400 wand-offs that had been made?
I think that I had said that was the risk we were running into with the amount of Aaron Robertson wand-offs that were being submitted a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Why, are we now at 400?
No.
It's over 9,000!
No. So between Randy Neupel and the tabulator Kurt Clark, they have built their own algorithm to determine how many wand offs have been sent in over these last three seasons. Do you care to hazard a guess?
Hundreds for sure.
Certainly. Yes.
I'm going to say call it a cool 500.
No, take the over on that. 715 wand offs.
Man, I can do nothing for the rest of my life, and I will have already accomplished so much by being a part of the wand off and having so much goodness in the world. What an incredible deal. What a great thing.
Okay. So we have 715 wand offs, including this week's entries. Let's talk about last week's winners for week 8 of the wand off. With 18.82% of the vote, in third place last week was Matt P, aka Matt from Waterloo, with Davey, the Justin Bieber cover.
I loved that. That was really great.
Okay. Josh. Okay, it was one of the closest votes we've ever had on the wand off.
No.
There was less than 1% difference. I don't have we ever done a recount? I don't know if anybody's ever asked for
sensitive
a recount.
Subject. Nope.
At what point does a manual recount get triggered? We don't know.
No.
24.7% of the vote went for this week's winner. 23.89% of the vote. Yes, 23 and me, and 8.89% of the vote went to the second place finisher.
Oh God, I'm on pins and needles. This podcast has been going really well today. No pumpkin pie segments here, but there is an outcome to this vote that could be bad.
Yes. I will tell you the top two contenders from last week.
Yes.
It was between the collaboration between Pineapple Boy 27 and Phil from Canada.
Okay.
And another collaboration between Karen from Canada and Sing It Tim.
No. Okay. All right. I assume that you'll answer the question of who the winner is by playing the song.
The winner.
Oh, geez. Oh, God.
Of the episode 8 wand off for Survivor David versus Goliath.
This is like the tensest tribal council of all time. I'm very, very nervous for this. Oh, God.
Bring it back, backseat. Bring it back.
Woo!
Oh boy. Karen from Canada and newcomer Sing It Jim. So close. I mean, Karen from Canada was, a pineapple leaf away from her third wand off victory of the season.
And with all due respect, because Karen from Canada has been a fantastic addition to the Wandar family, but get get Shut Up, Tim as far away from the final one as possible.
I think you're mistaken. That was Sing It, Jim.
I'm not mistaken, and I will not play into this chicanery.
This was a unexpected date that was brought to the Thanksgiving dinner last week.
Yeah, you were not invited, sir.
Sing It, Jim.
Sing it, Jim. All right. Well, congratulations to Phil T. Is this Phil T's first hat of the season?
First of the season, yes. For Phil from Canada, first
hat. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Phil from Canada, welcome back to the final Wandoff. I'm very excited about that. I am more excited that this also means Pineapple Boy 27 is going to, I assume, be featured in the final Wandoff as well.
Okay, let's bring in the host of the Wandoff to talk about everything going on. Here is Casey Kasem. Casey, take it away.
Rob, what a week. Josh,
Casey, how's it going?
My Twitter mentions are blowing up.
I was a little worried that you weren't going to show up this week, to be honest, Casey.
Hope everyone had a good week with their family and are not having any family feuds.
Oh, God.
It's not fun.
Oh, God. Okay. Casey.
You know, Josh, I, too, was recently seen on CBS. Josh, okay. This week we've got a number of strong honorable mentions, 30 new songs, over 30 new songs wow. submitted for the episode number 9 Wanda.
And how many from Aaron? How many is that from Aaron Robertson?
We'll see. We'll see as we're counting down the top Wanda songs in the country. We'll start off with an honorable mention from one of our listeners right here in Los Angeles. Here's Abe talking about a great place to get a meal.
Prepare yourself.
Okay. Prepare, Jeff.
For the Bula Burger Bar.
Oh. I need protein.
Bula 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 Burger Bar. Bula 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 Burger Bar. Bula Burger Bar. Bula Burger Bar. Bula 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 Burger Bar.
I found you getting all moody. We're on Survivor Dan, come and talk to me. Might have your dog's name, but I won't walk for you. I guess I gotta put Alec in the final two.
That's a good start. Strong start.
That was a great jam from Travis Bubba Sparks.
That's great.
Next up, we lost our hot cop, Dan. He's got a great t-shirt, and I recommend it to everybody. He's also got a song from Graham from the Bay. Here is Graham with a song saying goodbye to Mr. Daniel Rengering.
So long to Hot Top Dan. Farewell, Mr. Rengering. I know it's a shame, but be proud of your game. Cause you went out with a bing. Wanda, Wanda.
That was a beautiful song in concert from Billy Garcia, Joel Klug.
Yes, absolutely it was. You mentioned the shirt, Dan, the shirt. I know who am I to be throwing stones at the Wombat hat, but Dan, that shirt.
That shirt is incredible.
It's not. It's a really, really, really terrible shirt. It's an awful shirt.
You have no idea what you're talking about. That is one hell of a shirt.
It's a bad shirt, Dan, and you should feel bad about it.
Next up is a man who took on Rob Cesternino in the This Week in Survivor History quiz. It's Mr. Michael Clark talking about Dan and playing his idol.
The best thing about this idol stats with women is when a dude biffs it with holding more than one end. Allison Campbell, David's got John's coat, Cat Herd, Ding, Blurred King. Let's vote for Aunt Wendy's. Do not seem right. Gabby's not tearing, Karen is fearing. Closest to Dan, she's on a stand. Wants to be free, yeah, her Achilles heel. Dan, your idol is worthless.
That was a great single from the musical artist Shania Twain. For our Australian listeners.
Wow, that was good. Good pull. That was great.
Speaking of Australia, one of our listeners is named Rafi, and he hails from the continent that's down under. Okay. And he was inspired by Carl and his idol nullifier this week.
Flatbread and cherries, a crappy search engine. Chandler from Friends, a slang word for detention. When a hot take causes Rob's bell to ring. These are a few of my favorite things. When at Tribal, there's an idol played by Hot Cop Dan. My secret advantage, I'll play with a... 'Cause I am an R-Hab fan.
A quaint little number from Julie Andrew Savage from the film Who's Mary Poppins? About to be rebooted.
Is that not Sound of Music? I'm pretty sure that's Sound of Music, no?
Well, check with our fact checkers on that.
I think that's Sound of Music.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure. Just really
Josh,
quickly.
To be honest, I've had a lot going on this week. A whole lot.
I understand. We don't need to talk about it. Let's not.
Let's go back and stay in Australia.
Okay, cool.
With Luke and Allie, who were so impressed with Carl and what he did this week.
I know when that car goes bing. That could only mean one thing. I know when that car goes bing. That could only mean one thing. The idol isn't gonna work for you.
That was a hit for the Drake Tribe.
Was that when you're saying Luke from Australia, that's not the king of Asanga that we were just hearing from, I assume.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Next up, we'll come back to the good old United States of America.
It's okay.
And hear from Trevor from Tacoma. And he's very impressed as well with what Carl did this week.
And this is the idol nullifier.
The nullifier is getting by him. You ain't never seen an advantage like that. And when he plays it, it's making Carl go bing bing bing. You had an idol, thought you were safe as Tribal. Nullifier dropping damn so fast. And when he plays it, it's making Carl go bing bing bing.
What a jam from the artist Laura Eminem.
Oh, man. There's no better version of that, I guess.
Next up in our countdown of the honorable mentions from this week on the Wandoff, we go to a woman named Audrey S. from Dallas. She wants to talk about Mr. Nick Wilson.
Wah, 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 nah.
It's Mr. Steal Your Vote.
Wah, 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 nah.
It's Mr. Steal Your Vote.
Wah, 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 nah.
Idols up, battles up. Carl, where's your truck? Run over Goliath with the nullifier dunk. Idols up, battles up. Dan, you are a punk. Tell all of jury divots will tear the island up. Vitals up, vitals up. Advantages are sweet, but being looked over is what will get us the green. Idles up, bottles up, Gabby knows what's up. Hope is not the thing that'll get us the $1 million. Goliaths and Davids will be picked off one by one, but the Dicks and Carl are about to have some fun. Steal a vote is here, Nullifier is here. We just trick Goliath, go get Carl a beer. Calling all the jury, do you see us? Taking down Hot Cup, take notes, fishy. Cheers to the day we kept numbers alive. Now I got equal numbers each side. Bing, 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 Carl's alive. Y'all work together, another blind side.
That was a hit number for Trey June Songs.
I'm really impressed that there was already the lyric for Fishy to be taking notes, because I am expecting that Steven is still listening to The Wiggle Room as of more than an hour into the podcast.
Of course. And Josh, I do want to apologize for a Big Brother reference, but there was nothing from Survivor and you would like her.
That's fine. That's fine. I really, it's not that big of a deal for me.
Okay. And then, Josh, we've got one final honorable mention of the week, and it comes to us from the writing duo of Dee and Doug. Take it away.
After tribal, that epic tribal, the idol's nullified. Dan mismanaged his huge advantage, a historic blindside.
Very good. Hard song. Tough song.
That was a oldie but a goodie from the Tokens McNichol.
I'll tell you, I've been rewatching Millennials Gen X, and Ken was a gold mine. Oh my God. That guy was ridiculous. Just like flat out ridiculous human being.
Apparently.
I was just going to say, apparently. Unbelievable. So good.
Josh, it's time to count down the top five Wandoff songs in the country as submitted by the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. Are you ready?
I am so ready. I'm very excited.
We'll kick off the countdown here with our first entry into the top five. Of course, you could vote all week long when you go to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda, and the tabulator will be counting down all of the votes all week long.
Okay.
And here is Matt from Waterloo talking about Mr. Carl Boudreau.
Survivors on the beach, beach, Goliath's unaware that Danites, they have advantages to play. Carl wants a drink, but no beers tonight. Straw draw cost him his Bula Burger bar bite. Cubic, he's alone, searching the zone. Sector perspective, now an idol collector. Oh! David's now have three advantages. Carol blows dance cover, nobody gives
open
a...
Open the door for these advantages. So give me more of what's in dance pants. Let David score when they took the chance. So steal some more votes from Allison. Hot Cop thought that he was fine, then his idol was nullified. Carl looked like he lost his mind when he banged him goodbye. Hot Cop thought that he was fine, then his idol was nullified. Carl looked like he lost his mind.
That was a great job there by Nikki Wilson Minaj.
Will Sims Minaj?
No? Josh, there's some things we're not going to discuss.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Next up, let's discuss what's going on with the songwriting duo from upstate New York. It's Jess East and Will A, and they're talking about that big Idol nullifier this week.
The Davids treated like the second class advantages they sure know how to find. These awful puffs, they gonna break their backs, but at the end the Davids will survive. Oh, Alec being a rat, Mike trying to hurt cats. We've got three hallows to unleash on you. Our awesome dolls gonna blow your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Bang, bang, I'll steal your phone. Twitter at David's gonna win the show, show. Davey pops is taller, their number's getting smaller, bringing like down Hector Brew, Joe, Joe. Davey's so good, seals jackets like he should, getting netted and be on the show, show. Nickname Robin it, Bing Bing blocking it, Queen Gabby sobbing it, dominant. Tiffany Jesse's from Albie, guilty gonna be sorry. Oops, I meant to say sorry, he's trying to rewrite his story. If Josh grinning, we winning, find all Wanda if we get in. When they all hear me rapping, heads gonna be spinning. B to the I, to the N, to the G, to the B to the I, to the end of D to the bing. Us David really had to make a move. Awesome, no, really blew your mind.
Wow, what a collaboration from the songwriting trio of Jesse J. Starrett, Ariana Grande 39, and Nikki Wilson. What a trio.
So dumb. It's so dumb.
Coming together like the David tribe.
Grande 39.
Next up, we'll hear from another talented songwriter, and he hails from Columbus, Ohio.
Ooh.
Here he is, back once again. He's worked with talented artists in the past, like the Mayo Jar. But here he is with a solo number. Here's Bob from Columbus.
If I was Christian, I'd be petrified. The Brochachos voted for me, attempted fratricide. I would calculate the ways that the strike force did me wrong. I would regroup with the Davids and rise up before the dawn, because my back's against the wall. So I think I need to search this island with Davey and Carl. I would use all of my brains, cause I've got a PhD. I would segregate the jungle, search in Sector 7G. I would traverse, use breath first search, explore the neighbor gnomes at their present depth first. I'd enumerate the vertices, express the cardinality. Would I worry about complexity or explicit adjacency? Not I. I will divide. Yeah, if I use my algorithms, then the idol would be mine. I will section into sectors, a tree structure inspector. I will divide. I will divide. Yeah, yeah.
A great song, which is by the artist Kara Cake.
I was really hoping it was Mitchell Olson. I got you. Yeah, that feels good.
If someone wants to remake the Mitchell Olson song, they can go immediately to the top five.
You get a hat automatically.
Automatically.
That's actually not a valid offer, so...
Josh,
because like a lot of people are going to end up doing that, and we don't have the hats for it.
If someone was to collaborate with Mitchell Olson on a remake, they will automatically go to the top five.
Yes, that's probably, but the actual Mitchell Olson, no joke, Mitchell Olson's real Mitchell Olson, and not just a person named Mitchell Olson. It has to be the Mitchell Olson.
The one and only.
Yeah. One of probably a few, but you know, the one that we're talking about.
Josh, next up is our number four song in this week's Wand Off. It comes from a man who, as an artist, has gone through many transformations. In his early days of the Wand Off, fans knew him as Phil T. Jeez. But as his legend grew, so did his many name changes. He was recently known by Phil from Canada when he worked and won the Wand Off with Pineapple Boy 27. Uh-huh. But this week, he's back and he's got a new name. His fans call him only Shut Up Phil. And here he is, number four in this week's countdown.
You really screwed me, Carl. That's mean, and you're such a jerk. I played my useless idol, useless idol. Now my game is over. You really screwed me, Carl. That's rude, and I'm really hurt. I played my useless idol, useless idol. Now my game is over. See, it started at Exile. Carl was there for a while. Oh, I was naive for not thinking he'd retreat. Cause we all thought Carl couldn't mount an insurrection.
Insurrection.
We stood there too dumb to change the outcome. Oh, we didn't care. We made it very clear. And we also said that Davids couldn't last together.
Last together.
We were very inclined to vote them one at a time. Because Carl, in my mind, cares only about beer and wine. Oh, Lord. We were f***ed by Carl and David. You really screwed it me, Carl. This idol does not work. I played my useless idol, now my game is over. You really screwed me, Jeff Probst. No hint of this existing at all. I played my useless idol, now my game is over.
That was a great one from Dr. Sean Kingston.
Very impressive. I understand, or I don't understand why he is now Shut Up Phil. I feel like he didn't take a breath in there. There's a breath first Wand Off. There is a breathless Wand Off. Got to breathe. You're going to pass out.
And finally, we've got just a top five this week, Josh. This one comes to us from someone who's no stranger to the Wand Off top five. He's back and he's got a medley of tunes for you. Please welcome back the winner of the season 35 Wand Off. He is Mr. DJ LaBelle Klein.
It's that time again. No, not for more Aaron Robertson songs. Time to get on your feet and dance.
Who could give you pleasure? Found some hidden treasure. Blindside of Goliath King. Who took the mayor's jacket? He made such a racket. In the challenge, he was distracting.
It was Davey.
Shouting numbers at the nerd.
It was Davey.
Apocalyptophilic blurred.
It was Davey.
A late addition to the game.
It was Davey.
Devilish is his middle name.
Next, we go into the mind of Dan Ringring.
Dumb Dan, he sulks alone in the sand. He thinks, Dumb Dan, just lost his right-hand man. He just stays there, thinking about how he played his idol for Angelina. He's thinking to himself, why did he play his idol for someone he doesn't even like?
Why did he play it?
Yeah, if he would have known and could do it again, he would play it for him again.
And now, with John and Dan out of the game, that leaves Christian Kubicki as the ultimate road
He is the life for Chacho Man. Chacho, Chacho Man. He knows the from Chacho.
Chacho, 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 Chacho.
That was a number of songs from the super group, the Village People Strategy Blog, featuring our number one listener, Stephen Fishman.
Perfect. Ah, perfect, perfect, perfect. See, Stephen, that's what we've been doing for the past couple of years. It's a really great podcast. You should be listening more often.
And Josh, with that, those are the top five one-off songs in the nation.
In the nation.
Listeners can vote all week long when they go to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda to cast their vote for the winner of this week's one-off, where the winner will receive a brand spanking new Wigglers Wombats baseball cap.
Oh, man. Thanks, Casey. Please have an easier week.
I'll try.
Okay.
Special thanks to Randy Neupel for all of his work setting up the Wandoff SoundCloud playlist, and to Jason Curtis Rivera, who puts together the music videos for all of our top five songs in the country.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And to hear all of this week's submissions, become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast by going to robhasawebsite.com/patron, where we'll post all of this week's entries to our SoundCloud playlist.
Yes, do those things.
And Josh, with that, I will be back to talk with you all next week.
All right. Bye for real.
Wow, Casey Kasem. And it's so nice to be able to pay tribute to the late, great Casey Kasem, an American icon.
Yes, American icon as well.
Yes, who should have been treated much better in his time here with us on Earth.
We treat him very well here.
And with reverence. Yes.
With reverence, with great reverence. With reverence. We love Casey Kasem. All right, God. All right, God. What a time. What a time here this week.
So much going on. Okay, Josh Wigler, what's next? We're going to talk about, is it possible that we could see the three brochachos go out boom, 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 bing, bing, bing?
Oh, please don't put that into the universe.
I wasn't even thinking that until that we heard DJ LaBelle Klein even put it into the universe.
Yeah, no, I think that that's, unfortunately, I think that's not an, I think that's a realistic possibility. Yeah, I mean, Christian is somebody who I think that everybody is a little nervous about out there, so. So can we see Christian go home in the 2-hour episode? That'd be a bummer.
Bummer.
It's possible. Okay.
All right. Check out everything that Josh Wigler is doing. He is at Round Howard on the Twitter, and you could read his full interview with Mr. Nicki Minaj Wilson.
Yes.
And you could check that all out there at thr.com/survivor. Of course, Josh has a great interview up as well on thr.com with the latest casualty from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that person is thrilled to be the latest casualty from The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with no sarcasm, that person is very happy to be off the show. That was a wild interview.
It is interesting to me where, you know, then, you know, there, when somebody dies on The Walking Dead, and then also, you know, you have your exit interview today with Daniel Rengering. It's sort of like, yes. I feel like it's sort of like, this is kind of interesting. The same.
it's a weird juxtaposition for sure.
Yeah, did you see it coming? What happened? Was this a blind side? You know about that? So interesting stuff. All right, that's going to do it for us here in the Wiggle Room here for episode number 9. Of course, a 2-hour Survivor where Stephen Fishback and I will be back together after the 2-hour live episode of Survivor. Exciting stuff.
Exciting stuff. Almost too exciting.
Almost too exciting. Yeah, here we are in the home stretch of Survivor. We got a great week of podcasts. Once again, Todd Herzog is going to be my guest on Thursday. Looking forward to talking with Todd. He's pumped up as well. After the double episode, Rourke Luskin is going to be here with me in the studio for this week's feedback show. And then we'll be back together after a double exit interview as well. Coming up later on this week, we'll have the double episode Wiggle Room. What do you think? We'll get 70 songs for for a double episode of Wiggle Room?
I think that's likely. I think that we could be pushing 70 for next week. Let's make that an official challenge.
Super size Wanda. I know, but yes. No more than like two or three per person, though.
There's going to be no shortage of material, I'm sure, to make Wandoffs about. So I'm expecting that we are going to be so full of music, it'll be like we were at the Bula Burger Bar.
Okay. Of course, if anybody's doing their holiday shopping, getting that kicked off this week, our RHAP Associate Storefront link. You can check out everything we have going on there and then go off to wherever you may go on Amazon.com and help support Robin's podcast with your purchases at Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. That's Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. Or you can find our banners and links on the homepage of RobHasAWebsite.com. Josh, always a pleasure. We'll be back with you next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Freaking backpack city friends. Freaking backpack city friends. Back city friends.
Pineapple on the beat. Oh.
Back city, Rickin' back city friends. 10 more down till we hit the end. 12 deep in the keep, all the Davids in. It's Davey, know the kid, got a couple tricks. Got a twirly stick, stalling with a twirly sticks. And a carrot cake, thinking I'm an idiot. Making Carl all route, and I'm selling it. Sneaky, sneaky Davey out here, Wentworth in. Cold pepper way, hero move coming in. Vote Johnny, and the vote is split. Slam town, they need a fix. Davey Crockett moving in. Back city, Rickin' back city friend. Back city, Rickin' back city friend. Back city, Rickin' back city friend. Take it over, slam metropolis. Back city, Rickin' back city friend. Back city, Rickin' back city friend. Back city, Rickin' back city friend. 1 million when I hit the end.
I'm a silly little fruit. You know what I'm talking about. Contemplation make the wait real cute. Dan took his time, made Angelina poo. They running Calo. Smoke Johnny Mundo from the top row. Uh-oh, pineapple go ham, going jumbo. Making Davey have a racy portmanteau. Bro shot Joe, stab Christian's back. Vegan them when the king up to bat. About to pop off Goliath's two stack. It's too late, Davey boy about to snap.
Fell in my trap.
Mike White's now a frightened little cat. Cat, kitty's out of the bag. You're a bad cat now. Davey's friends with Nick.
Rickin' backer.
Rickin' backer. Nick has Kefir. Back city, Rickin' back city friend. Josh Wiggler, you're my best friend.